Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On a rainy, disgusting, despicable Wednesday in New York City, how are you doing? Evan and Tiki, it's an abbreviated show. The Yankees are playing a day game out in Phoenix, Arizona, trying to win their second straight series to start the year. We will get you set for Yankees Diamondbacks. We will preview the game. We will warm you up as we get closer to the pregame show. But ladies and gentlemen, something very, very, very impactful happened in the last few hours in New York City sports. And to me, there are three gigantic questions that come out of the big news. And of course, the big news I'm referring to is the Buffalo Bills decided they don't want to play football in 2024. Buffalo Bills decided, you know what? We've already gotten worse. Let's get even worser. All right? So they traded Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans. They got a second round pick back. For a guy that's had 100 catches every year for the last half a decade, the Buffalo Bills gave Stephon Diggs away. So, Tiki, I've got three major questions that come out of this, okay?
Go ahead. You can ask them, but I have my own opinions on this. But keep going.
Number one, are the New York Jets the team to beat in the AFC East, baby?
Not yet, but they will
be.
Not yet, but they will be. As soon as Aaron Rodgers takes the field healthy and he lasts the game, then maybe they will be the team to beat in the AFC, especially the AFC East starting next year. But not yet.
I still got to
see a healthy team, and I got to see this nouveau offensive line, or not new, because some of those guys are old, but they're healthy. A healthy offensive line protect him as well.
Okay, so the rule for Tiki, I want to get this straight, because I am not a fan of just proclaiming we're the team to beat. I'm never like that. I'm not used to that. I'm used to being the underdog. We're used to being plucky. We're used to being like, hey, we're going to fight our way here. But I also need to use my brain. We all have to use our brain. The Buffalo Bills have gotten worse all offseason long. And then earlier today, they took Josh Allen's favorite toy. They took his favorite toy. And they told Joshy, you can't play with that toy anymore. And they sent him away to Houston for a lottery ticket that's not even this year, for multiple years. The one thing we can't even dispute, Tiki, the Buffalo Bills have gotten significantly worse.
Well, they have gotten worse, but that might be intentional on their offensive on the offensive side of the ball, though. Let's not forget that when their offensive coordinator was fired last year and Joe Brady took over, I think it was week 11 or 12, whatever it was, around middle of November, Stephon Diggs stopped being, let's call him, impactful. He was still good, right? He did a lot of bubble screens, a lot of little slant routes, things of that nature, but he only scored one touchdown for the remaining five or six games of that season with Joe Brady. And it was so much more of an emphasis on running the ball, right? James Cook started cooking. Josh Allen started running the ball a little bit more. So clearly this was a move of, I don't want to say they don't need Stephon Diggs because he's one of the best wide receivers in football still, but it's like their philosophy had shifted and Stephon Diggs just no longer fit the bill. And they're likely going to draft one of these plethora of guys in the upcoming draft come late April.
They may be better long term, okay? You never know what you're going to do in the draft, and right. They're in salary cap hell. I am thinking on one-year terms. And in 1 year, this upcoming year, the Buffalo Bills have gotten worse. That's the way I look at it. And that's number one. So for the Jet fan out there, if you hadn't heard the news, if you're hearing it from Tiki and I right now, great news if you're a Jet fan. The team to beat, or at least the old team to beat in the AFC East, has continued to get worse. They traded Stephon Diggs. So that's question number one we all need to figure out. Are the Jets the team to beat? Here's question number two. Should you guys, and you know what I mean by you guys,
I mean
the New York football Giants, should you have been on Stephon Diggs? I mean, they could use a wide receiver. Look at your wide receiver room right now.
Right.
I know there's uncertainty about who the quarterback is. More on that in a few minutes. Could the Giants and should the Giants have said, hey, let's get involved in this, especially with the Joe Shane connection of Buffalo?
You know, maybe. I think the thing that held them back, though, was the cost and the price tag of a veteran wide receiver in a trade. You bring that salary with you, whereas there's going to be so many available wide receivers for them if they stay at six. And even if they fall back a little bit in the draft and someone wants to trade up, a la Minnesota, who's looking to go after J.J. McCarthy, I think the Giants have tons of draft options that are interesting, and it's cheaper because it's a rookie deal. And look, all these, I don't know what one of these guys is going to turn out to be the superstar in this draft, talking about the wide receivers, but it could be multiple of them. And I think the Giants are saving their bullet, so to speak, for that, as opposed to let's go get, I don't want to call him aging because he's not that old yet, but he's not young. He's not spry like he used to be in Stephon Diggs. So I think it was a thought for about a half a second. And then they said, you know what? The draft is so much more appealing.
You so also...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You also said something very interesting that leads to question number three. And question number three is the most important question I'm going to ask. This question is in the back of every human being's mind.
Right, for some reason, I think you've broached this before.
Yeah, what I'm about to bring up, I broached before. Right. It's in the back of everybody's mind right now. No one wants to say anything, so I'm going to break the glass. And I'm going to say something right now that is on everybody's mind, and it should be on everybody's mind. You said maybe you save that draft capital. Maybe you use it for something else. Well, maybe that's something else. And right now I'm picking up my cell phone. I got my cell phone. I got a lot of numbers in my cell phone. I got people I like. I got people I don't like. But I got a lot of connections in this cell phone. I pick it up, and I make a phone call. Because the one thing I've learned in life is nothing can go wrong with a phone call. Mm-hmm. The worst thing she can say is no. The worst thing they can say is no. So Joe Shane, pick up the phone and call your friends in Buffalo because they're having a garage sale and the most appealing item is still in the garage. And here's the best part about the most appealing item. Joshy don't have any toys anymore. Mm-hmm. And Joshy ain't happy. And Joshy don't want to live in Buffalo anymore. And Joshy's got a girlfriend who probably would much rather shop on Saks Fifth Avenue in New York City than waste time in that toilet bowl known as Buffalo. Call up your friend, Joe, and say, hey, what up about Josh Allen? Is he available? Because if you're sinking this ship, we are the New York Football Giants. We've got the sixth pick in the draft. We have Daniel Jones. We've got other assets. You tell us what you want. We'll help you with your rebuild, and we'll help Josh Allen out. Because you know if Josh Allen is sitting wherever he's sitting right now, seeing what's going on around him, you think he's happy? Shane's got to pick up the phone and ask about Josh Allen. Why not take
him? When Dave became the head coach of the New York Giants, you kind of thought the same thing, Evan. You said, wouldn't it be lovely if the Giants could solve their quarterback issue by just bringing Dave's most successful project in Josh Allen? He took him from this kid from the Midwest who nobody thought was going to be successful, one of those first-round busts, and turned him into a perennial MVP candidate. And if they could get over the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe they'd be a Super Bowl champion at some point. But I think the reality of the Buffalo Bills is, look, of course they'll listen. Like if Joe Shane calls and says, hey, what are you thinking about Josh? I mean, they'll have some conversation on it. But let's not obscure what's happening up there. Sean McDermott, whether we like him or not, Evan. We'll go into that right now. We'll leave that one because we killed it during the season. Sean McDermott is kind of in a prove it year, right? He is in a, if you don't advance or if things don't get better, you don't fulfill this ultimate destiny, beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, like, we may move on from you. And I think Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott and Joe Brady, if they want any chance at success, I mean, Mitch Trubisky's on the who's the backup right now? I can't remember. Is it Mitch Trubisky? Yeah, it is Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky's on the roster right now. He's not winning enough games for them to save their jobs. The only way they stay in Buffalo is if Josh Allen is their quarterback. And so I think it's an interesting call. It's an interesting thought. From Giant fans, you'd be excited about it, but I think there's no way that that's happening.
Because I just want to make
jobs
sure,
on the line.
I want to make sure that, because you have been very consistent, you have said, quote, we have a quarterback.
We do.
We got Daniel Jones.
We do. He's making $40 million a year.
I understand all that. You are willing to edit that. You are willing to say, hey, wait a second, this is a better opportunity. You are willing to say goodbye, Daniel Jones. I got a chance to get Josh Allen, correct?
Well, I mean, if the Buffalo Bills are going to be stupid enough and say, we don't really care about the head coach's job or our new offensive coordinator, Joe Brady's job, or even Brandon Bean's job, right? If we don't really care, then let's send them out and maybe we can start again, which probably is not prudent. Absolutely, you entertain that. There's no doubt about it. One of these other guys that we're talking about, maybe a rookie coming in or one of these other potential free agents that becomes available or disgruntled quarterbacks that wants to leave the situation that he's in. I don't really love that. Josh Allen, he's one of the top five quarterbacks over the last 5 years in the National Football League. You absolutely entertain that. I just don't think it's going to happen.
You have to place the phone call. It's no different than us killing Steve Cohen and David Stearns for saying, you can't call on Ohtani. You know he doesn't want to come here. You have to place the phone call. But after you're hung up on within a minute and a half, you realize that that was never a possibility. And I think this just furthers the point that this is actually a good move for the Buffalo Bills and a good day to be a Bills fan.
Because oh, stop.
No, Evan. There was undeniable disconnect over the last year and a half between Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. And we might be saying, you know, Saks Fifth Avenue, Josh Allen can't be happy. I got a feeling Josh Allen's pretty damn happy. And they just added a second-round pick. They have 12 draft picks with plenty of move to move all over in a wide receiver deep draft. Man, this feels a lot like when we thought the Chiefs were panicking after they had to dump Tyreek Hill for cap reasons. I think the Bills are going to be just fine.
By,
and they're going to get multiple receivers in this draft.
There are a few things that are different. Number one, I like Josh Allen. If I'm the New York Giants, I'm making that phone call.
Sure.
And I would move heaven and earth to try to get Josh Allen. So I believe in him. He's a top five quarterback in the league. But guess what he's not? He's not Patrick Mahomes.
True.
So if you want to sit here and make comparisons to the Kansas City Chiefs, correct yourself and acknowledge that there's only one Patrick Mahomes.
Well, hold on.
Okay?
Let's not forget what happened in the AFC Championship game last year. With about 8 minutes left in the game, the Buffalo Bills were down, I forget what, four or whatever it was, and they had a big throw. It was a seam for Stephon Diggs. He was in the slot. Perfect throw by Josh Allen. Defender was late recovering, and it went right through Stephon Diggs' hand.
No, I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying he's perfect.
No. What I'm saying is that Josh Allen has made some of those throws that are necessary to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. He just hasn't been always bailed out by the guys he's throwing the football to. So, look, I'm not blaming that play on why Stephon Diggs is no longer here, but I mean, we've seen Stephon Diggs play at a higher level than he did at points last season. That's all I'm saying.
No, and I understand that, but now the Bills are going to rely on youth, and maybe that youth will work out. Maybe we'll sit here a year from now and say, wow, that turned out to be a great decision. But don't tell me today, especially sitting here as a Jet fan who's kind of giddy, and say, oh, this is a great day to be a Bill fan. Well, your sister's ass, Sean.
Hold on.
It's a great day to be
on.
A Bills fan.
I'm going
to
defend Sean, Evan, because
what?
Let's not forget, when you have a top-end quarterback, like one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, it makes young wide receivers so much more likable, right? So much better because they're not like guessing. They're not trying to run the, you know, run the situation. They're not trying to run the team. They're sub to the star.
But you got to get him, Tiki. Like, I get that.
Okay,
hypothetically,
so many,
sure.
But hold on. There are so many of them. I mean, you know this, Evan.
Yeah.
You look at this draft. There are, I mean, there are like 10 wide receivers, and you get down to like six, and you say, dude, any of those guys could have been top 10 picks.
You're right, but here's where the worry is. Just because there's a lot of really good wide receivers in this draft in theory doesn't mean you're drafting the right one.
True.
That we have
true.
No idea if that's going to be the case.
That's
it
true.
Is a risk. The Buffalo Bills are risking that. That's why, A, the Jets moved closer to the AFC East today, because the Bills got worse. And then B, if I'm a Giant fan, I'm looking at what's going on over there. If I'm Joe Shane, forget Giant fan. You should be already thinking about it. If I'm Joe Shane, I'm looking at what's going on over there and saying they wouldn't be dumb enough to trade Josh Allen, But is Josh Allen miserable right now? Yeah. Because think about it that way. And I understand that him and Diggs didn't have the greatest relationship in the world. But Josh Allen also knows that instead of relying on a 30-year-old who may be a little up and down and maybe diva-like, mm-hmm. instead of relying on a guy who's caught 100 balls in four consecutive years, now I'm relying on a rookie who they tell me is a big-time prospect. That's really what you're looking at right now. So I don't know if Josh Allen's sitting in his New York City apartment, which he probably has, looking out the rainy window, realizing no, he can't go to the Met game tonight because it got rained out.
No, stop. He doesn't live in New York. He bought this massive mansion up in Buffalo. Like
there is no way.
He's the man of the people in Buffalo. He typifies what a hard-working, blue-collar Buffalonian is.
Oh, stop. Let me tell you something. I don't know Josh Allen, but I'm going to give you a guess. If you could get him a lie detector test right now on him and say, hey, Josh, you see what's going on around you. You see what this team is losing talent-wise on defense, on offense. If I gave you a chance to get the hell out of there and come to New York City and play for a guy who got the most out of you, oh, my God. The guy would walk to New York City. Yeah. He'd walk here.
And I got to be honest, if he's spending April 3rd in Buffalo with no game for months, I'd actually question his decision-making and not even want him to be my quarterback.
Now, how far would you go? If the Buffalo Bills are really thinking, let's cleanse this whole damn thing, the sixth pick in the draft is not going to be enough. That's just called a starting
point. It's multiple firsts, obviously.
And how far would you go, Sean? Would you give up the draft picks for like the next 150 years?
I would give up four straight years of first-round picks for Josh. I really would. I would leave without a first round pick for four years.
That sounds ludicrous when people hear that, Sean, but that's basically what you're eliminating the need to ever draft a quarterback in the first round, at least for the next 5 years, four or five years.
And as we just saw with the team on the receiving end of the Diggs trade, the moment you find your quarterback, which Josh Allen would be the find, those holes get plugged rather easily without first round picks. They just do.
Right. No, I by the way, I happen to agree with you. Like I don't know if there would be an asking price. I think where it would get tough is when they start to ask for players.
Yeah.
That's when you would start to feel uncomfortable. When Sexy Dexy is asked in this trade, then all of a sudden you're going to say, I'm not really sure.
By the way, I have to mend your comment at the beginning of the show where you said the team to beat in the AFC. Again, I got to say the AFC East because the Houston Texans right now with Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins and Tank Dell and Robert Woods and Noah Brown and John Mechie III. I mean, they're three.
No, they're loaded.
Oh, they're two deep at every wide receiver position.
I mean the division because the AFC, first of all, the team to beat in the AFC until further notice, really till ever, is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Fair.
Okay? They are number one a million miles away. As a Jet fan, it starts with the division. Winning a division is rare. I mean, think about how many times in your lifetime, for anybody listening, in my lifetime, how many times we've seen the Jets win a division. I'll answer it for you twice. That's it. Two times. 1998, 2002. That's it. That's the list. It's a very short list. So it comes down to winning a division, which ensures something that's also very foreign in Jetland. And that's a home playoff game. A home playoff game. That doesn't happen. Again, how many have we seen in our lifetime? The answer to that is, again, two. And by the way, they're 2-0 in those games.
Yeah.
So there have been good results. But you look at Miami taking a step back. You look at what this offseason's been like for Buffalo, especially now. And look, Stephon Diggs is a hell of a – he's done well against the Jets, as great as the Jets secondary is. Go back to that first game, the Aaron Rodgers game.
Yeah.
Remember what Stephon Diggs did in that game? 10 catches, 100 yards, got in the end zone. So he is a tremendous, tremendous player. And you could tell me all day about the connection between him and Josh. He's a diva. He is a tremendous player who's not there anymore. Now, to your point, Tiki, the Texans are loaded. And the Texans move up a little bit now in the AFC as one of those real dangerous teams, especially after getting the learning experience of last year. So no doubt.
That's just the offense. I mean, their defense signed a plethora of guys on the defensive side of the ball as well. So
they're a loaded team. And if you're power ranking the AFC, it's Kansas City 1. And if you want to put the Texans 2 even ahead of Cincinnati, I got no problem with that. But to me, I'm starting with the division. Because winning the division is that first step if you're a Jet fan. And the Dolphins have gotten worse, and there's no doubt. Sean can say whatever the hell he wants, but the Buffalo Bills have gotten worse. Now, long term, does this help them? 3 years? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't give a rat's ass about 3 years.
And
I'm talking about 2024.
And I think, honestly, that's what the Bills are thinking about. It's obviously... they're going to do something in the draft. Josh Allen's only 28 years old. They're going to do something to get him some pieces around him, some more maybe explosive wide receivers. But yes, they're worried about next year, but I think they're more worried about the next 6 years, right? It's bigger than just, oh, we can win now. Against, let's face it, the Kansas City Chiefs, as you just said, Evan, are still in their way.
That's the team to beat. And as far as the Giants, going back to question two, should they have gone after Stephon Diggs? I'll tell you this. If the Josh Allen thing is never going to happen and is not a reality, and I know you guys lean against something like that, mm-hmm. a second-round pick for Stephon Diggs is a steal. And you can tell me all day how loaded this wide receiver draft is. Yes. Again, you don't know what guys turn into. And you're not trading a valuable pick for him. You're trading a second-round pick from a couple of years from now for him.
First of all, they already traded a second-round pick for Brian Burns, so they have their other one. Here's why it doesn't make sense, Evan, because they're going to do one of two things. Either need that other second-round pick to move up for whatever quarterback at 4-3 if they are trading up, or they're not trading up for a quarterback, and at 6, they're going to take a number one wide receiver with a ceiling higher than Stephon Diggs. So either way you slice the cake, trading that second-rounder didn't make sense for the Giants.
Look at the problem, but it's a second-round pick from next year. It's not even this year's second-round pick.
Right.
You need all the ammo you need if you're going to trade up. If not, you're already addressing what Diggs fills with sixth overall.
Yeah, by the way, next year could be a different like quarterback conversation, and you might need that second-round
pick. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yankees have a game in a little bit less than an hour. We'll get you set for this afternoon's tilt with the Arizona Diamondbacks, including something fascinating the Yankees have done over the first, how many games have they played now? 6 games. Mm-hmm. That's going to need to change if they want this hot start to turn into an even hotter start. Now, let's give the New York Mets some credit, because here's a lesson I learned as a child. You can make a mistake, but then you can't make the same mistake twice, right? You got to learn from your mistakes. So last night, the New York Mets decided to tell the 32 people that were planning to go to Citi Field, hey, come anyway. There's a window. We may play baseball tonight, even though there was no freaking window. That's why on the air, when a caller called up early in the show yesterday and said, hey, should I go to the Met game? I said, no, and I'll even offer you Evan Insurance. If you don't go and they play, I will take care of you. I'll give you my tickets to a future game. And if they don't play, which I knew they wouldn't, mm-hmm. you're good. I just saved you the trip. Hopefully everybody listened to me, because the New York Mets decided to open up the gates, take the money for parking, let you in the building, and then they let you sit for 2 hours. But good news. The New York Mets decided to be selfless. They decided that on their big, beautiful TV screen, they would play the Knicks daddies, the Miami Heat, knocking them off last night down in Miami. So, hey, great news. You got to watch rain hit a tarpaulin for 2 hours and Jalen Brunson play like absolute crap. So, congratulations on all of that. But today, Tiki, the Mets have already decided, you know what? There's no Knick game tonight. We're certainly not putting the Net game on the big screen.
Nope.
So let's just rain the game out now, which they have already done. So I commend them for at least doing it early as compared to last night.
Do it early and do a doubleheader on Thursday starting at noon. But if you had tickets for yesterday's game, those tickets don't count unless they'll give you a credit credit to your Mets account. And then hopefully you find a later game to come that's of equal value of your ticket or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I don't even know. Exactly. I got to be honest with you.
The good thing is it's single admission for the doubleheader tomorrow.
That and the weather's supposed to be nice. Like the rain is clearing out tomorrow morning. So if you're going to the Met doubleheader tomorrow, you're good. If you're going to Yankee opening day, which is, I got to tell you, and I'm very big on checking out how hot tickets are. You know, not even if I'm going, just out of my own curiosity. Opening day at Yankee Stadium on Friday, with the weather starting to clear, and I assume with the Yankees' hot start, is one of the hottest tickets I have seen a Yankee opening day in years.
Yeah.
In years. Man,
it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be close to 60. It'll be nice. Might be a little breeze. Kind of be perfect to be watching baseball.
Yeah, it's perfect. Unless it's 48 degrees. But right now, it does look like it's going to be in the mid-50s, maybe even hit 60 degrees. Now, as far as the Yankees are concerned, last night, you know, this is so typical. This is the thing that pisses me off. Nestor Cortez did the same thing he did on opening day.
Of course.
He gives up the runs early.
Yep.
He gets very lucky that the Diamondbacks are trying these dopey safety squeezes that turns into double plays. But to Nasty Nestor's credit, he settled down. Mm-hmm. And he gave him 5 innings. And so the final line isn't very good. 5 innings, 3 runs. But I would look at his performance last night and say, you know what? If you're hitting the way you should be hitting, problem is you're going up against an ace last night, that's an acceptable enough performance. The problem is the Yankees didn't do anything offensively. And it calls to attention some stats that I have to throw at you, because they are amazing to me, considering the Yankees are 5-1. So you should take this, I guess, as a positive, that they are 5-1 despite this. Aaron Judge is 3-for-24, no home runs, one RBI.
Mm-hmm.
Giancarlo is 3-for-20 with the one home run and the one RBI. Gleyber, 4-for-23 with one RBI. Anthony Rizzo, 4-for-22 with an RBI. And Mr. Dogman himself, Alex Verdugo, is 3-for-21. I put that in my phone. I put that in a little calculator. And you add all that together, you're talking about five pretty important New York Yankees are a combined 17 for 110. That's a 155 batting average
that's pretty bad.
Start the year. But they're 5-1.
Right, and that's a testament to Juan Soto and Alex and Oswaldo Cabrera and obviously Volpe, who have been above and beyond anything you could have thought or expected at the beginning of a season, especially for two young guys, but also for I guess Soto, you kind of knew what he was going to do. But I think the only concern that I think people are talking about is Aaron Judge. And it's not because you don't expect him to hit at some point, but let's not forget that this offseason was marred with an odd back slash oblique slash we don't know what the hell it was that he picked up in the offseason from too much swinging, I think is how it was described.
Right.
And he really didn't have a spring training. So we don't know how long it's going to take for Aaron Judge to be Aaron Judge that we all depend upon. And I know, Evan, you created this mantra of the Yankees are Judge-proof, meaning when he has a slump day, that they can actually survive it.
Yes.
The problem is you also don't want to have to rely on that. You also don't want to have to depend on Judge or those around Judge picking him up all the time. And so
yes,
Aaron Judge has got to start getting back to, you're not even hitting home runs. I'm not even worried about that yet because that's just going to happen. But having meaningful at bats and getting base hits and doing the things that he's always done for the first eight years of his career.
You actually did something I didn't think you'd be able to do to me, because I would have said to you, it's six games and mm-hmm. he's slumping. And that happens. Like, baseball players slump. And I talked about this with the Mets. And actually, Steve Cohen repeated this morning on CNBC. He said something exactly that I said on the air day earlier. And I'm not implying that Steve heard it and then repeated it, but more that it's a true thought. And we're thinking the same way. I'm not accusing him of ripping off my thoughts. Maybe a few other people, but not Steve Cohen. And that is, every team loses four in a row, but when it happens at the beginning of the season, it's more noticeable.
Especially
and I'd say this. I'd say the same thing about Aaron Judge right now. 3-for-24 happens. Like, he is not perfect. So 3-for-24 slumps happen. So I would say to you, it's six games into the year. It doesn't mean anything. But you brought up the one thing that could potentially worry the Yankee fan or worry me as an IBO. And that is, he dealt with health issues in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just safe to say, well, he's playing, so he's fine.
Right.
And that may not be the case. So what I would say is, they have a homestand coming up. If this slump continues, more questions will be asked. Not that Aaron Judge is bad at baseball. We all know he's awesome. But more, hey, is he healthy? But I think at this point, I'm still in that zone of, it's six games. It's early.
Right.
I ain't worried yet, but I do think in the back of your mind with Judge, you always wonder, is he healthy?
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing that I thought about when I – not because it doesn't look like he's struggling. Doesn't look like he's wincing. He also is getting horrible calls. I mean,
thank you for bringing that up, by the way. This is a constant Tiki.
Oh, one of those punch outs. I mean, that ball was at least 4 feet or 4 inches below. I know the square that they put on the screen is inexact, but it was 4 inches below his knees. And it wasn't even close. I mean, you want to credit the catcher. I forget who the catcher was. You want to credit for framing perfectly, and the ref maybe blinked while the ball was out of the zone. And by the time his eyes opened, it was back in the catcher's glove into the strike zone. But that was a horrible call. Now, he's always dealt with that.
Always.
He always gets, you know, he gets past it, right? It doesn't affect him. It doesn't affect his average. But the one thing I thought about was, man, what if he's hurt? Like, what if he can't pull the trigger as fast, right? What if he can't get his bat down as low? What if he can't do those things that he was always able to do in order to manufacture hits and sometimes put the ball out of the ballpark? That's the only thing you worry about. He's never going to tell you, because that's just not in his DNA to make excuses like that. But at some point, Aaron Boone's going to have to like look close, hey Aaron, how you feeling? Right? Not do you want to be out there, but how are you feeling? And because at some point, he's going to start to hurt them.
It actually worries me that he has not struck a home run yet more than the fact that he's 3-for-20, because that's his game. When he gets into one, he gets into one, and that would be my worry. And, you know, not for nothing, I think we're going to learn pretty quickly whether this is an injury still bothering him, because he's had now, or he's about to have, 7 games in controlled environments, Houston and Arizona, and we see this all the time in April. He's coming back home. You guys can see 60 all you want. I'm seeing 53 at its peak on Friday. Then a Saturday night game that might be played in 39 degrees. You know, when he's swinging with that oblique, I'm very worried in the cold weather here that we're going to find out, ooh, that thing is tightening up a little bit. I hope that's not the case, and I hope that's not what he's dealing with. But my gut tells me if we do think he's banged up a little bit, we're going to find out real quick when they come home.
Yeah. You know, I got to be honest with you. I didn't even think about it. And I didn't think about it until you brought it up, Teak, because you sort of forget about it once a guy's out there. Once a guy's playing every day, it's just, oh, he's playing, he's fine. But it wasn't that long ago where we were sitting here, everybody was worried about, is he playing a Saturday spring training game in Bradenton? And
well,
here we are.
And I still remember that. And it's not like football. Like football, you have an injury. It's like, dude, suck it up, man. You'll be fine. You'll figure it out. The rest of your game will compensate. But baseball is a finely tuned like skill to hit a baseball, especially, you know, with the velocity and the, you know, the differentiation that these pitches come at you. He's got to be dialed in. And if he's thinking about, man, I don't want this thing to hurt when I do X, Y, or Z in my swing or my approach, then it's that quarter of a second that he's behind.
Now, you mentioned
The momentum, too, of spring training getting halted. Forget the injury for a second. He had that short run-up before the season started. You know, he totally lost a good week and a half of getting in a groove there, too.
Right. Yeah. It's funny you make that excuse for him, but not Jeff McNeil. Go ahead. You want to make it for Jeff now?
Yeah, Jeff.
I mean,
you know,
maybe
really
it is. Maybe it is what's plaguing Jeff. Seriously. Maybe it is.
Honestly, nobody wants to hear it. That's the thing. Nobody wants to hear it. As far as Judge getting screwed on calls, I will tell you this. I have a buddy of mine. His name is AJ. Except in my phone, his name is not AJ anymore. Because AJ always whines about officiating. Always. So in my phone, it's titled, AJ is a whiny bitch, right? That's what it is in my phone. And I got to get, no, I'm putting AJ over right now. I'm going to give him a little bit of credit. Because years ago, his whininess was, judge get screwed, judge get screwed, judge get screwed. Low strike, low strike, low strike. And finally, I was like, I'm so sick of this man bitching. I can't deal with it anymore. So I started studying Aaron Judge's low strikes, and he was right. And this has been going on since the moment this guy got to the major league. So he has convinced me as an IBO, as someone who's not a whiny Yankee fan. I'm not a whiny Yankee fan, but sometimes I got to stand up and be the whiner for you. Because when the Yankee fan whines about bad calls, you're a baby. When the Knick fan whines about the bad call, you're a baby. If I whine about bad calls with the Mets or Jets, I'm a baby. But you know, I got no hill to die on here when it comes to Aaron Judge and the Yankees. I have never remembered in my life watching this sport I love so much, because as you know, I love baseball. I don't recall a guy getting hosed as consistently and as often as Aaron Judge does on the low strike. And I commend Aaron Judge. Because Aaron's got a choice. Choice number one is give in. I'm not getting that call. I know it's not a strike, but I've got to swing anyway. That's choice one. Choice two is F that. Right. I'm spitting on it. And I'm going to hope for the day that the umpires judge me correctly and fairly. And if it means I'm striking out looking sometimes, so be it. And it's not easy to do the latter. Judge has done the latter.
Yeah.
And so when he strikes out on those low strikes, a part of me commends him that, because this isn't new, is my point. This has been going on for years.
I got
and
a
the
solution.
Fact he hasn't given in, amazing to me.
I have a solution, and it's likely not to work, but it's going to put a great emphasis on it for the umpire behind the dish.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge needs to get a big slab of paint or a like red duct tape. I'm serious. I'm dead serious.
Yeah.
Tape it on the inside of his left knee. That's his front knee. Is inside of his left knee, so it's plainly visible. And as soon as the umpire sees that ball go below that red tape, white ball below red tape, he's got to call a ball.
Yeah.
He's got to call a ball. And if Aaron Judge has it, just like when he got called out on the 3-2 pitch last night, he turned around to the ref and you say, was that ball below that red tape? Was it below the red tape? And he's got to say yes or no, right?
Yeah.
You got to answer him in some capacity. I wasn't looking. Okay, if you weren't looking, then how could you call it a strike? Was it below the red tape on my knee? And if he says, yeah, then he's like, you're screwed up then. You messed it up. Was it above the red tape?
Actually.
I mean, it's a subtle, like, F you to these umpires. I'm serious. Because it's egregious how bad it is.
Oh, right? Dude, it's been going on forever, man. Like, it's almost tiresome to bring it up, but I feel that's early in the year we'll bring it up. You know what I mean? Like, in the middle of July, it's like, oh, here we go again. The only negative that could happen is there will be a manager who says uniform infraction.
I know, that's my point, but whatever. Whatever.
And a subtle F you to Aaron Judge will be baseball fining him for altering the uniform.
Hey, what are they going to fine him? $1,000? $5,000? If it helps him get, you know, walk or get pitches in the zone that he can mash, you know what? It's worth it.
Oh, it's definitely worth it. Who cares about the fine? Right. I mean, look, there will eventually be an automated strike zone in Major League Baseball, but it ain't happening anytime this season, obviously. So you just have to deal with it. I mean, that's just the reality. And looking at the Yankee lineup today, Aaron Judge is getting one of those half a day offs. Mm. He's playing, but he's DHing.
Yep.
They're lining up Glaber in the leadoff spot. He's been ice cold. Juan Soto, who's one of the only guys hitting in right field. Judge is DHing. Rizzo cleaning up. Anthony Volpe moving up to the five spot in the batting order at short.
I was going to suggest that. Put yep. Stanton, who struck out 12 times already, stick him down the bottom of the lineup and bring up the kids.
How about Booney taking a page out of Mendy's book, riding the hot hand with Alvarez, moving him up?
By the way, I like it. I think we need more of that in baseball. If a guy is playing well, I don't care if it's four games, especially a young player. I think with a young player, it actually matters more because I'm sure there's that mental aspect of it that if you're Anthony Volpe, who's been awesome his entire life, right, since he's been a kid, and all of a sudden he gets to look at that lineup card today in Phoenix, Arizona, and he sees five?
Mm.
I don't know. Yeah. I think that probably adds a little swagger to you, but they did better with Giancarlo Tiggy than drop him. They actually took him out of the lineup. Oh, he's not playing today.
I didn't see it.
which makes sense because Stan's the kind of guy that probably needs 2 days off every week.
Right.
Every series he needs an off day, and he hasn't hit, so it's kind of easy, and you're facing a tough righty in Merrill Kelly today. So they got Volpe 5, Verdugo 6, Oswaldo Cabrera 7 at third base, Austin Wells is catching batting 8th, and Trent Grisham is batting 9th. He's in center field. If the Yankees win today, they win a series and they would begin the season 6-1 heading into Yankee Stadium on Friday afternoon. If they lose this game, it'll suck, but guess what? You had the Yankee Stadium 5-2.
Right, you're good. You're fine.
That's not a bad. I think the real question today is going to be Carlos Rodon. That's your guy, Shawnee. You have any confidence in your boy?
Tell us, because you were the one that mushed Nestor yesterday. He didn't have a bad day. He had the same day, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Yankees, A, were due for a loss. B, yeah, Nestor versus a good lineup. I think Rodon's going to give you a little something here today. I think Rodon's going to give you a solid 5 2/3 innings, 1 or 2 runs, 7 strikeouts. I think Yankees are going to walk away here with a win, and we're going to feel good about Rodon. By the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't wish a happy anniversary to Giancarlo Stanton. 6 years ago today, his Yankee Stadium debut, where he went 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts.
Oh,
first Yankee ever to do that in an opener and got booed. Ugh. Happy anniversary, Giancarlo.
Look at you. I mean, you remember because you were one of the jackasses booing him that day.
I led the cavalcade.
Now, part of the reason you booed him, because I think I was there that day. It was a cold, rainy day. In fact, wasn't it delayed at the start, I think?
No, the game was delayed by a full day. And then moved it to 4 o'clock the next day. And the game was played in freezing, driving rain nonetheless. Like, you sat out there and they canceled everything. No first pitch, no introduction. So if you paid to go to opening day, you didn't get any of the pop and circumstance. So what was the one thing you got? Ooh, Giancarlo's debut in pinstripes. And then quickly you found out, ooh, he sucks. So that's why he got food that day.
It was a cold, rainy day. It affected him as well, man. Come on.
Affected us.
But that's the thing about fans. Like, if they had played last night's Met game, and, you know, there would have been 612 people at Citi Field for a Mets-Tigers game, they were going to boo everything. Because if you're sitting in horrible, miserable weather, first of all, I commend you, but you're also just ready to be angry at everybody. Yeah. You're angry at yourself for being at the game. You're angry at the team for charging you. You're angry at Mother Nature because you're getting rained upon. And so the bad weather brings out the worst in us. That's why the weather being good for Friday, Tiki, is great news because it lessens the likelihood of angry boos.
Ah, good point. And it'll feel like the perfect opening day, especially if they're 5-6-1.
Oh, my gosh. 6-1 going into opening day. And look, even if they lose today to Arizona, and it's not going to be, you know, an easy game, obviously. Mm-hmm. Diamondbacks are good. They're defending NL champions. Right. They're off to a good start. Merrill Kelly is certainly tough.
Right.
We'll see. But win or lose, you feel very satisfied with this road trip. Not only because you got five wins, but you beat the Astros. So I'm not saying like you accept this loss. Obviously, I think any time as a fan, you sit down, you invest time watching your team, you want to see them win. But I think either way, barring any kind of catastrophic injury, Friday afternoon at Yankee Stadium is an event. It is a celebration of what a lot of Yankee fans think, and I totally get why you feel this way, is the return of the old New York Yankees.
And Mr.
How you feel?
Softy. And Mr. Softy. It'll Mr. be a big Softy. Day Friday.
So you're going to go Mr. Softy even if it's 52 degrees?
Heck yeah. I'll get Mr. Softy every time I walk in that building to make sure they stay in business.
That's warm. That's warm for Sean. You know he's got an internal heater. You know that, right?
He does. You know what? I got to say, I'm usually not able to do that. I think I'm going to join you. I think I'm going to Mr. Softy with you at Yankee Stadium right before first pitch.
I love it. I'm in. Let's go.
We're softying together.